The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Not all accounted for. Brady's here. Artie's here. No Rich. How you doing, big boy? Handsome's gone. Oh, he's out of here, huh?
I'm doing a lot better than he is, I think. Even though he did actually get to vacation, I think he's not doing so hot.
I just want to say this, first of all. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but boy, was he complaining, lugging in the stuff yesterday while you were just sitting around doing nothing.
And you know what? Usually I carry in all of it and set up all of it.
Well, it was just one suitcase, but my point...
he didn't have to carry anything.
The funny point is, I was sitting there, he wasn't around, you weren't around, so I didn't know where anybody was. I would have helped him carry one suitcase. It's not that big of a deal.
You also called me and said, is there anything I can bring in from the van?
Yeah. You guys weren't together, though.
There was nothing to bring in. There was one suitcase, of which we're talking about like a briefcase.
Yeah.
And one box with essentially nothing in it.
He was crabby yesterday.
All of the equipment that we needed for the show was already at Patrick's gym. No extension cords, no power strips, no outlets. It was all directly in front. So you know what? He was gone for 4 months when I did everything.
Wow, look at you.
And now he can do it.
He was super crabby yesterday because his flight got canceled.
Yeah, so he doesn't need to take it out on me. As we said about David Price. Just because things aren't going so great doesn't mean you got to take it out on everybody else.
Well, but you see, the problem was he realized he really couldn't start his vacation later because he already had his Airbnb reserved. He had his rental car reserved. He had his, you know, he had certain itinerary he had to meet, and everything was starting to just unravel in front of him. And he realized, and he couldn't even get through to JetBlue yesterday. He goes, nobody's answering the phones. I said, Rich, that's not true. I go, that's just not true. I go, watch. I picked up the phone. I dialed it. I pushed the buttons you had to press. And they said, I'm not going to hold 25 minutes, but said 25 minutes and somebody will be with you. I go, that's how you do it. He couldn't get on the internet and rebook his flight. He couldn't do anything. He was just falling apart at the seams there.
So he took it out on me and him carrying one thing?
Yes. Well, he wanted to punch me in the face. He was getting to that point.
Well, this is a business about relationships, and I was forging relationships with the people at UVM. You know,
They don't like us, the UVM people.
Talking to Ed Hockenberry and Dustin in the athletic department.
Dustin doesn't like me, I don't think.
These are people, he just thinks you're stupid.
Oh, wow!
These are people that we need to meet and schmooze, and that's what I was doing.
You were doing, you were doing the schmoozing part. The rest of us were doing the working part.
You weren't doing anything.
Some schmooze, some work. Some schmooze. Some work. So, Rich, what did he end up doing? He ended up driving?
So, Rich went to the Burlington
Airport. To Nebraska or something like that?
Rich went to the Burlington Airport last night at about 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And pleaded with them, do you have any flights who are not leaving in the morning or any flights that aren't canceled, any flights that are going to different places that I can connect? And they said no.
No, I told him that.
And he ended up, he drove.
Which I told him he would have to.
To Boston.
Yes.
At midnight. He got to Boston at 4 a.m., slept for an hour in the airport, and left at 6 a.m. Who knows what Rich is doing with his car? It's just staying at the Boston airport, and he's gonna pay that bill for a week?
Wow.
So,
sucker.
And and you kept telling him he would get a free flight.
Let's have it towed, yes.
You kept telling him that he was going to get a free flight out of his cancellation. He had to pay a lot more.
No.
Yeah. He had to pay a lot more.
Excuse me.
He probably went on a different airline.
Well, that's probably the point. When your flight gets canceled, they don't say, oh, we'll get you on the next flight, and you got to pay more. That doesn't work that way. Any airline doesn't work that way. Stop it.
So
I'm not buying that now.
So he said he had to pay a lot more money. He texted
me. Probably got on a different flight.
He texted me from Denver.
You know what? He just doesn't know how to work the system.
He's not as business savvy as you.
No, he's not. He's really not. I told him, no, you don't pay extra. if you're going to stay on the airlines, they don't say, sorry, Mr. Haskell, your flight has been canceled, but we have another flight for you that's on the weekend, and it's only first class, so we're going to have to charge you 10 times the amount. It doesn't work that way, okay? You understand that, don't you? He must have done something. He didn't tell anybody or went on a different airlines. He just probably walked up and said, I need a one-way ticket. Didn't tell anybody he got canceled.
Who knows? But he is gone for a week.
All right, so he called you from Denver.
Yes, he called me from Denver to tell me he made it on a plane.
Okay, so at least he got as far as Denver.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Nobody texted me. Nobody called me. Nobody let me know what was going on. I didn't even know if he had a show today because of this.
I called you at 10 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, but I was anticipating no show because of this big storm we were having. By the way, I'm calling out Sean Parker, Torrance Gosher. Who else is a weather person around this
time?
Tom Messner.
Tyler Jankowski. That's the extent of my weather people knowledge.
Isn't Amanda to it, too?
Amanda Tebow.
Amanda Tebow. All this, we're going to get like a foot of snow. How much have we got so far? Zero.
Like, we had some rain snow earlier.
That's why they canceled all the flights. Where is all this snow that they were talking about? Where's all this 10 pounds of snow that was going to wreak havoc on us? And God forbid we should go out or even venture 2 days ago to go out. Where's all this damn snow? And now we're only going to have, 4 to 6 inches, right?
4 to 6 inches. But that means trivia is on, baby. Trivia tonight at the City Sports Grill in Colchester, 7:30 to 9:30.
I am going to do weather on TV at night. That's what I'm going to do.
So you're just going to look outside and say it's raining?
No, I'm just going to say possible rain or not. Maybe, possible, could be, could not be. Maybe, maybe not. I'm just going to say that. You know, we're going to have a little snow tonight, anywhere between a little dusting up to 2 feet. So, but I mean, that's all everybody's guessing. They say they look at this model. What model?
The European models are different than the traditional models.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't really know.
What model are you looking at that tells you we're going to have a foot of snow and then next thing you know we're going to have an inch?
What are you reading?
What are you possibly reading? I mean, it's not like you're reading Biff's Almanac from Back to the Future that has all the answers. What the hell are you reading that tells you we're going to have a foot of snow? Oh, my mistake. It's just an inch.
Arnie, it's trended 100 miles south of us. That's why.
And when did they didn't know this yesterday?
No, not yesterday. It's breaking news.
Well, that's why they should have asked me.
They're getting like 9 feet in Philadelphia.
Thank goodness we don't live in Philadelphia. Yeah. But they canceled the flights up here, though, in Burlington. So, you know what? I really think being a weather person is the easiest thing in the world. I'm serious about
that. No, it's not the easiest thing.
It
allows you the most margin for error.
That too. But really, look, no offense, it takes no skill. I mean, really, you're looking at a TV, a monitor, and you're going to be wrong anyway. So you're looking at something that you're going to be wrong with anyway, right? So I'm looking at, that's like reading a textbook, but I'm not going to ask any questions from that textbook. What the hell? Seriously, I'm going to be a weather person. I am. I'm going to like moonlight as a weather person for 2244. I'm just going to go ahead and say, hey, it's going to be somewhere between 10 and 50 degrees out, so you better dress up and bring a coat with you.
Could you moonlight as a sharpshooter? Because yesterday you only took one shot.
Yeah, well, you guys wouldn't let me play. You kept the game close. We played the worst team in the league. You guys just sucked. I played in the first half, and when I left the game, we were up by 10. I didn't put myself back in. We won by 2, and we almost lost by a three-pointer at the end of the game.
We won by 3, 67-64.
No, we won by 2, I thought.
67-64.
You guys kept turning the ball over. Every time we got up by 10, you couldn't extend the lead. You let them back in the game. I could put myself back in and feel good about myself. I mean, I didn't get to use any of my fouls. I wanted to hit somebody. It was getting a little chippy in there. You know, it was getting a little chippy.
I had 19, so that's all.
Did you have 19?
I had 19.
I couldn't tell because you were just shooting them up like crazy.
Not true
so
either.
You were missing a lot. What do you mean? I saw you miss a lot.
That's not true.
Yeah. It isn't?
No.
Were you on
fire? I actually thought I was pretty good and efficient yesterday, better than I have been.
Oh, okay. Good game, Brady. we played the worst team in the league.
We won.
Yeah, but we played the team was 0-10.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, they were.
No, they weren't.
Well, what was the record?
I don't know, but it wasn't 0-10.
It couldn't be much better than that. Seriously.
We're up to 6-5 now.
It couldn't be much better than also. And people were getting a little chippy, didn't want to get a hand up or anything like that. Did you see that play?
We're about, 6-5 now.
Yeah, I want to talk about that one.
You talking about me getting chippy.
No, the other team was getting
chippy. Oh, the other team was getting chippy. Yeah, the other team was being punks. That's
why. Wow, look at that, huh? That little white guy was getting on my nerves.
Now, why do you have to say it like that?
Well, because that's what he was.
Easy Dion.
Yeah, I just was saying he was getting on my nerves.
Easy
though.
Dion.
Wow.
Dion Sanders.
He was getting on my nerves, though. I just want you
he
to
wasn't
know
very
that.
Good, but I don't know how he kept making shots.
Yeah, he wasn't. No. I wanted to come in and just elbow him. I mean, you guys weren't doing a good job defensively. Yeah, so I only played like 5 minutes. You said 0-for-1. I didn't even shoot the ball. What are you talking about?
I thought you took one shot.
No. I was open for one shot. I actually passed it.
Yeah, yes. I know.
Because it didn't touch
you. You must not have had a good grip.
No, I did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't. It kind of just kind of lost grip on that. So, all right. Lots going on. Rich is gone for a week. Busy show today. So, Brady, what's coming up on the show?
Well, let's remind first. We'll be tonight, Trivia City Sports Grill, 7:30 to 9:30, Half Price Burgers. Tomorrow, Idle Time Brewery in Stowe. It's our 101.3 ESPN Winter Craft
Beer
Tour.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Looking forward to getting out there. And then also, March 15th, which is the Thursday of the NCAA tournament, we're going to have an all-day viewing party at City Sports Grill. So we're not going to do the show.
Ah, day off, huh?
That's right. Well, you're still working, but we're just not doing the show.
So I can get liquored up and go to work then.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, you can get liquored up at work.
At work. So
you can responsibly get a driver home.
Yes, I'll have my wife drive me home.
Yes, so after what's coming up on the show today, Brian Hoke covers the Yankees for MLB.com. He comes up in about 10 to 15 minutes. We'll do our 4-minute football fix. My Seahawks just cleaning house on everybody. Buster Olney at 5 o'clock. And I'm already excited about our last story standing today.
I have something for a 4-minute football fix that you may not know about, that Michael Bennett trade that came out. So I'll tell you about that, what it has to do with the Patriots. So
Martellus Bennett just got released by the Patriots.
Right. Well, no, that's another thing. And why I think the Patriots are going to get Richard Sherman, too.
Okay.
Wow. So we'll get that on the 4-minute football fix. What's the first thing? What are we getting to now?
The first thing I just found interesting. So there's this long story by Wright Thompson on ESPN.com, and it's about Ichiro. And people think, here's Brady just talking about the Mariners. Well, not necessarily the case. So it's a long story about Ichiro and about how this winter, Wright Thompson went to Japan to kind of observe Ichiro and what he does. They said that every day, Ichiro does the exact same routine. Every day. It was like 18 degrees and snowing. Ichiro was out on the field in shorts practicing. And he said, and basically this story is about Ichiro and his unbelievable commitment, his unbelievable dedication to routine. Also, how his father is the reason for all of this kind of obsessive behavior that Ichiro has. And Ichiro hates his father now. He doesn't even speak to his father, but he still exhibits all of the traits that his father ground into him. So it's a story about a guy with so much accomplishment, but doesn't ever have a sense of fulfillment. And you kind of wonder what's going to happen when he actually is done playing. But some of it reminded me of Tom Brady and his obsession and his commitment. And others of it was a lot darker than the Tom Brady
saga. Is obsession good, though? I mean, you're making it sound like this is good at one point. Sometimes we make fun of obsession. You mentioned this because of its baseball work ethic. How about if I say something like Wade Boggs? I mean, isn't that obsessive when all you do is eat chicken?
That's superstition. I think that's different.
Really? That you just call that superstition? That's being like ODD or whatever they call
OCD.
It. OCD or whatever the hell it is? Or no?
I think there's some... I think there, if it was a Venn diagram, I think obsession and superstition will come together in the middle at some point. But no, this is he goes outside and swings in the snow. He swings in the rain. It doesn't matter. He does the same thing. But with Tom Brady, I look at obsession and I say, okay, this is good. This is what it takes to be the best. Okay,
right.
This is what it takes to be the best of all time. This is what it takes to be the GOAT. But you can also see that for even as dedicated as Tom Brady is, Tom Brady does have other interests. He does have other things. He does have a wife. He does have kids that he adores. Ichiro has a wife. Ichiro has no kids.
Okay.
Ichiro is much more sheltered than Tom Brady. And I think for Brady, I look at it and say he's got a healthy commitment. And yes, I think he's obsessed with football, but I do think he'll be able to walk away gracefully when he does.
When Ichiro came into Major League Baseball, I did not know. I don't know if you guys, and maybe you knew. I didn't know much about him. just other than the fanfare that he was coming in. I didn't know his demeanor. Like, you, Darvish, you heard that he was like a playboy a little bit. I think he had the blonde hair, but I wasn't sure. He wasn't married. I don't know if he is at the time now, but I think he was dating like a model back where he's from. I didn't know much about Ichiro. Now I learned that he's really very laid back, very, you know, not standoffish, but just doesn't really like the limelight.
Yeah, he wants to, you know, it's funny you say that. Ichiro wants to, when he's done playing, to just recede
right.
and be forgotten about. He wants that.
Recluse.
But here he is also chasing still playing. So he wants to be in the spotlight, but he'd prefer not to be in the spotlight.
I don't think he's to be in the spotlight. I think he just wants to play.
Right.
I think it wouldn't make a difference if it was 10 people watching the game.
That's not really true, because he's had offers all offseason to go back to Japan, and he chooses not to. If it was about just playing,
I was just
he could
say,
play.
Out of dirt parking lot, he'd play baseball if nobody was watching, just to play baseball. Really kind of
something
like that. Yeah.
I'm not so sure that that's the case. With Tom Brady, I think, okay, this guy loves his sport. This guy loves his craft. For Ichiro, when I read that story, I started thinking, Ichiro is obsessed with his sport, but I don't know if it's out of love. He's already got, outside of winning a ring, which I know is important, and in some cases it's the only thing that's important, but Ichiro's got all the achievement you could have. All-star games, gold gloves, 10-time gold glover, batting champion, rookie of the year, MVP. He's played with the Yankees. He's played in Seattle. He helped win a record 116 games for the 2001 Mariners. He's accomplished everything there is to accomplish outside of winning a ring, but yet he's still playing. And I don't know, because when they talked about the dynamic with his father, that's not happy. That's not healthy. So I wonder if Ichiro's obsession is not a healthy one, whereas Brady's, I tend to think that it is.
I think it'd be easier to walk away from baseball than it would football or basketball, just for a couple of reasons. One, football players are a lot younger because their careers don't go out as much. Two, they don't play as many games, so you just starve for that once-a-week game. Same thing with the NBA. I mean, you go a little bit longer in your careers, but baseball, you got 162 games. By the time if you retire, if you're lucky enough to retire in your 30s, you've played a boatload of games. You've played one season equals like three seasons, like dog years. So, you know, I think it's easier to maybe walk away the game from baseball, but this guy's, 44 years old? He doesn't want to walk away.
But see, he doesn't want to walk away, but is that because he loves the sport or because he truly doesn't know? Because Ichiro's already got 3,000
hits. Yeah, Andrew and Wilson just texted in. Isn't Ichiro closing in on 3,000 hits? Did he get that last year?
He's already got that. He got that 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago. Oh,
he
wow.
did it with the Marlins.
Okay.
So he's already.
Right, he did it with the Marlins.
Yeah, he hit a triple off the wall in Colorado. Yeah. So,
wow, look at you.
You like that?
Yeah.
So Ichiro, I don't, and it comes at a time when I heard a lot of people talking about this article in this way, that this is tough to read, given what we've now learned from Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan about athlete mental health. People are taking this to be, it doesn't sound like Ichiro has a good balance in his life. It doesn't sound like he's got, I don't want to say good mental health, but it sounds like when he retires from baseball, he's going to be left with this gaping hole.
Well,
and you really start to wonder.
Let me ask you, you know, you say about mental health, would you say Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to say has something wrong with him, but, you know, he doesn't have a good rapport with his family, right? We saw The Bachelor? I don't even want to quote The Bachelor, but his brother.
Yeah, his brother, yeah.
His brother. And then we found out that his father, who's like a regular guy doctor in small town USA, was that Northern California somewhere?
That's where Rodgers is from, is Northern California.
So I think he has a practice up there. Like the typical regular guy wouldn't harm anybody that they don't talk. So you got to wonder what's going on there too. I mean, that's part of it also when you talk about, you know, a separation and, you know, didn't talk to anybody
else. The thing about Ichiro that I found interesting was that he hates his father for what his father did to him. He said that when he was younger, his father's treatment of him bordered on child abuse. That's what he said. That Ichiro said he played with other kids 3 days a year. That's what he was allowed. That's what he was not, you know, that was the time he was allowed to not practice baseball, was 2 to 3 days a year. And Ichiro was resentful of his father for instilling all of this in him. But yet now he can't help himself, and he does the exact same thing to himself that his father did to him, which he hates. It's very, very interesting.
I know, and I read part of it. I got to tell you, I find it bothersome, to be honest with you, that he would still harbor that, considering the success that he's had through that regimen. Kind of like the Williams sisters harboring ill feelings against their father. or Todd Marinovich ill feelings against his father, which I can understand that, but he obviously doesn't have the success that the Williams sisters had. I couldn't imagine the Williams sisters harboring ill feelings against their father with all the success. You know, perhaps the best athlete ever when they were talking about Serena. So.
I think there's a I'm not buying into that because
really?
you can look at a person in your life and say, I am grateful for this, but I overall do not like this. I mean, think about it this, okay? People get divorced every day in America.
Right.
Not all of those people sit back and say that I have 100% negative memories of my
right.
of my ex-wife or my ex-husband. They'll sit back and say, look, this my ex-wife gave me my child. My ex-wife gave me a lot of great memories, but it still didn't work out in the end, and now we don't speak anymore. You're allowed to separate from people in your life while still harboring some, you know, some appreciation, but also resentment.
All right, we are getting stuff at the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. We'll get to that. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Brian Hoke, he covers the Yankees for MLB.com. What is he seeing from the Yanks in spring training? What does he think about the battle with the Red Sox?
A little baseball coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, everybody, welcome back. You're in the Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Despite the snow and the blizzard and all this great weather coming our way that reminds us of winter, it is almost spring and baseball season is just 22 days away. Opening day is March 29th, and one of the big stories of this 2018 season is going to be the Yankees, their battle with the Red Sox, their continued growth, the follow-up year for Aaron Judge, the new addition of Giancarlo Stanton. Let's get all the answers on the Yanks right now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. We've got Brian Hoke. He covers the Yanks for MLB.com and is also the author of a new book on the Yankees called The Baby Bombers. Brian, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. So you write the book called The Baby Bombers. Does it lose some of its cachet now that the team goes out and gets Stanton? Did they ruin your book?
I hope not. I think that expectations are sky high for this team, and I think that the excitement from what you saw last year with Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, Luis Severino, Greg Bird at the end, I think that should still carry over. And I think the important thing to remember is Stanton's not exactly shouldering the load all by himself. I mean, they had a pretty good core here already that took them one win away from the World Series, so maybe Stanton's what takes him over the top, but he's not going to have to come in and carry the load all by himself, that's for sure.
You've been in Tampa. How does the team look so far? Kind of, you know, midway through camp.
Yeah, I mean, it's about your normal spring training. I think it's a little more relaxed now that Aaron Boone's the manager. I guess that's the big takeaway I would make there. He's more of a player's manager than Joe Girardi probably was. And I think you see a lot of smiles and a lot of laughter. I think this team knows that they're going to be good. So you don't read a whole lot into wins and losses in spring training. You're getting a lot of reps where the AA and AAA guys are on the field. But for those five innings where the real big league team is together, I mean, they look good. That's not a lineup that I think anybody in the American League is looking forward to facing. And 1-9 scoring runs is not going to be their problem. So I think they'll go as far as the pitching takes them. They've got a heck of a bullpen. Still going to score a lot of runs. So we'll see how the starting pitching holds up, but I think they should be right there in the thick of the mix in the American League East, for sure.
Starting pitching is the one big question the Yankees have, as you just alluded to. What can we expect reasonably from CC Sabathia, Masahiro Tanaka, and Sonny Gray? Because Gray and Tanaka have been off injured. When they're healthy, they're very good. Sabathia reinvented himself last year. Can he continue to do that here in 2018?
Yeah, you're right about that, and I think they would sign up immediately for what CC Sabathia gave him last year. That was a renaissance year for him at age 37, pitching on a couple of bad knees, for him to reinvent himself. And watching that transition over the last few years, I mean, this is a guy who used to rear back and throw 98, and he learned to pitch. He learned that wasn't coming back. He knows now how to mix speeds better. He learned a lot from Andy Pettit in that regard. That has been fun to watch CC hold up here. And you know, as long as he can stay on the mound and make this 25-30 starts, I think he should be able to repeat what he did last year. I think health is a big question there. Tanaka, the home run bug, got him last year. He's got to work on that. He's got to. He thinks he's got a couple ideas to cut down on the home runs, but that's so important, especially pitching in Yankee Stadium, keeping the fly balls in the park. And Sonny Gray's right in that realm, too. You know, he's coming from a spacious ballpark in Oakland to Yankee Stadium, and his home road splits, you look at him last year in the short span since joining the Yankees, he struggled a little bit at Yankee Stadium. So, by and large, I think he's going to benefit from having a full spring training here in Tampa, getting to know the guys. But I think that Sonny Gray, they have high expectations for. Tanaka needs to pick up the home runs a little bit and be able to keep the ball in the ballpark a little better. But I think with the bullpen they have, they really just need these guys to give them five innings or so, and then you can turn it over. And more often than not, with the amount of runs they're going to score, they should be shaking hands at the end of the day.
Brian Hoke covers the Yankees for MLB.com, also the author of the new book called The Baby Bombers. He's here with us in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3 ESPN.com. Everyone's going to focus on Judge and Stanton and Gary Sanchez. The guy I'm interested in seeing this year again is Didi Gregorius. How did this guy go from glove first, no bat shortstop in Arizona to 25 homers, 80 RBIs, and hitting fourth?
You're absolutely right, and he's such an important part of that team, especially if you're looking at a inexperienced infield. I mean, he really is the veteran there now in the middle of the infield, and we've already talked about him coming in and replacing Derek Jeter and the challenges that were there, and you don't hear a whole lot about that anymore because he's answered every question in the book. The fielding was not going to be a question. It was whether he could hit left-handed pitching. Now he's one of the best in the game as far as shortstops go at facing left-handed pitching and hitting them. You know, with runners in scoring position, this guy comes through in the clutch. He had a big postseason. You remember the game where he hit two home runs off Corey Kluber in the ALDS. So this guy can cut it on the biggest stage. I think that he's answered every question in the positive. This is a really smart, apt pickup by the Yankees to trade for them. I mean, that was a steal of a deal to get him from the Arizona Diamondbacks. And you always say you have to have a strong spine up the middle, so that shortstop, second base, and center field. The Yankees are set at shortstop with Didi Gregorius.
It's a good problem to have for the organization to have too much depth, but I wonder about the roster crunch that's going to happen at the end of spring training. You've got two stud prospects fighting it out to make the club and start in the infield in Torres and Miguel Andujar. You've got Clint Frazier, who I think is awesome, but I don't find a place for him on this roster because of Jacoby Ellsbury's massive contract they're still dealing with. How does the roster shake out?
You know, sometimes injuries cure those problems for you, and maybe that's what happens in this case. I think that Torres, since he's coming off Tommy John surgery, it's an easy call for them to stick him down at AAA, and he'll probably play in Scranton for the first month or so of the year. That's what I would anticipate seeing. Andujar, I mean, his bat has been on fire down here in the Grapefruit League. He is crushing the ball, hitting line drives all over the place, so it's going to be a really tough call if he keeps hitting that way for two or three more weeks for them to come up with a reason to keep him down in the minors. I think he can definitely hit his way onto this team for opening day. And as far as the rest of the team goes, I think that Clint Frazier, he's hurt obviously from dealing with a concussion, and you never can be too careful with stuff like that. But he was coming into camp intending to make this opening day roster. So I think that even though you look at the roster crunch and you say, how are you going to fit six guys into your outfield? Sometimes those questions get answered for you. Jacoby Ellsbury is also dealing with an injury right now. So I think it's a game of attrition, and you see who's still standing when the bell rings and they go north to open the season in Toronto. But I think that there's a lot of ways, especially in Torres and Andujar's case, that they can contribute to this 2018 Yankees team, and they're probably going to play a part whether or not they're on the team in April.
Brian, what do you think about the Red Sox this year? We're a Red Sox affiliate, a lot of Red Sox fans up here. A lot of people now have just kind of assumed the Yankees have passed the Red Sox in the AL East, but the Sox are the two-time defending champions. What do you think of the Red Sox?
Yeah, I think they're a stacked team. I mean, this it's going to be a formidable challenge. I think it's going to be a slugfest in the American League East. And for all the hype and attention that's been levied on the Yankees, and rightfully so, I mean, there's a lot of excitement about them, but let's not forget that the Astros are the defending world champions. The Red Sox are the defending AL East champions. And even though the Yankees had a great postseason run and were able to get past Cleveland in the first round and took Houston to the limit, I mean, they still haven't proven it completely on the field yet. They've got to make up those two games against Boston. Boston won the division by two games last year. So I think that it really is going to be a slugfest. I cannot wait to see these two teams on the field for the first time against each other up at Fenway Park. I think that watching Stanton come into Fenway, I think he's going to get the kind of receptions that A-Rod got back in the day because, you know, this team, this young Yankee team was almost likable, I think, yeah, in enemy territory last year. I'm not sure that's going to be the case anymore, so I am curious to see it, and I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun to watch.
Brian, we'll get you out of here on this. As I said, you're the author of the book, The Baby Bombers, and we're focusing on the youth outside of Stanton on this team with Sanchez, Severino, Greg Bird, Aaron Judge. What was the motivation for you to write this book? Because this is a differently constructed Yankee team than we're used to.
Yeah, and that really is where it comes from. I think that watching it around midseason last year, Aaron Judge won the home run derby down at Marlins Park in Miami. He had a sensational first half. He went into the break with 30 home runs, and the initial thought was to do something just on Judge, but I realized the more I dug into it that there was more of a story to tell there, and it basically how the Jeter team gave way and passed the torch to this young, likable Yankees roster, which, as you said, was unlike ones we've seen in the past where the Yankees had these bloated payrolls with guys past their prime and in their late 30s and not so competitive, certainly not in around 2014, 2015, that time. So it was definitely a breath of fresh air. I felt that there was an excitement in New York. And, you know, all the credit goes to Brian Cashman, Tim Nehring, Damon Oppenheimer, his lieutenants all there. The way they went in and kind of revamped from the ground up and realized that this wasn't working in 2016. They were not going to win the World Series. So sell off some of those parts, your Andrew Millers, your Aroldis Chapman. Get all the talent back that you can. Kind of kickstart that farm system. And you're seeing the fruits of that in 2017. You're going to continue to see it in 2018. And I think the Yankees are set up to be contenders for the foreseeable future.
Brian Hoke covers the Yankees for MLB.com, also the author of the new book, The Baby Bombers. Brian, congratulations on the book. We'll enjoy reading it, and we'll talk to you again later this season.
All right, looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
All right, first of all, it is spring training, so how many more days do we have till the season starts, Brady?
22.
I mean, let's pick it up a little bit. Can we just get rid of the last 22 games and just go straight to the regular season?
I'd like that. That's fine.
Something that he said there at the end, that's why the Yankees are, for the foreseeable future, going to go ahead and make a run at the World Series.
Yeah, because they have prospects.
Yeah, well, that's why. No, that's because what they have also on the team now. And that's why I'm saying the Red Sox are going to have to get rid of Kimbrel. And they're going to have to get rid of Jackie Bradley Jr. also. I don't think you guys have quite figured that out yet. Those two guys are going to go because, like you said, they got to sign Devers and Sale and whoever else. I can't think off the top of my head. So
Pomerantz, Betts, okay. Bogarts.
Well, you know, if Pomerantz doesn't bounce back, you can forget about that long-term contract.
You are missing, though, what I am telling you.
Yes.
It is important to have prospects. That's what the Yankees have done. The Yankees have gotten their farm system strong, which has allowed them to make trades to go get some of the pieces that are currently on that team. They also have money to go and sign players. I'm with you. If the Red Sox are 30 games out of it, on July 15th, which they won't be,
right,
then they should trade the farm.
I don't think they have to be that far out. I think,
okay, yeah, if they're 12 games out, they should trade a bunch of guys and get prospects. But I'm telling you also that their urgency to win is very, very real. So they can't just go and sell off everybody like you want them to. But they do have to be calculated and not trade away their assets. Therefore, they also got to draft better.
All right. Now, we had a game last night. Now, the little white guy that we didn't like, is he on the line? Is that the guy that's on the line right now?
It's Zach at Burlington.
Is he the little white guy?
I don't know. Zach, who are you?
Zach, are you the little white guy on the other team yesterday or what, Zach?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God. You guys are horrible.
Oh,
absolutely
stop.
Horrible. We should know. The only reason I didn't play myself in the second half is I'm expecting to beat you guys by 20.
A big fan of the show, first of all.
Well, thank you.
Second of all,
did you know who we were yesterday during the game?
No, I didn't. I knew Robert Russin and Tucker Kolas, but I didn't know you guys.
Other guys on our team. No D-Rob.
There you go. I was waiting for you. Every time somebody touched you, you were like doing the flop.
And he scored every time.
Yeah. It's part of my game, man.
Yeah.
Part of my game.
I know. I saw that. I'm like, get me into the game. Let me set a back pick. And who is the guy with the Rodman jersey?
Oh, that's our buddy Nick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, we got a tough, scrappy game. Just We got to fact check Arnie real quick. We are actually 3-7.
There you go.
3-7.
We always got to fact check Arnie.
I just want you to know that the Rodman guy.
The worst team in the league. Second worst. That's okay, the worst. I resent that.
Could you tell your buddy he's not that good? He's really not that good.
Hey, we're having fun.
Yeah.
We scrapped. You guys almost blew that game. You tried to blow that game.
That's true. Very true.
We play you guys again next week?
We play you again next week, so it should be fun. And Arnie.
Yeah.
Jacket three next time. Come on.
Jacket free? What does that mean?
Shoot a three.
You know what? Yeah. I'm starting next week. How about that? I'm starting.
Okay,
I'm going to get my shots up there.
I'm going to wear a Richard Hamilton mask, so it's just like an elbow, okay?
All right, Zach. I wish you get in. He was being too nice. I was just being a jerk. He was being too nice.
Nah, he was good. And he didn't call me out for saying he wasn't very good.
No,
but he actually
called him punkish, too.
Team was punkish. Yeah,
punkish. They were a little punkish. I know that other guy, Troy, on the team, too. And, they were all being punkish.
He was not punkish.
Don't say that because he called to the show and like that.
You're right, though. He did flop, but somehow he managed to make every shot.
You looked at him. He did a flopperoni. I mean, he went to Vladi Divac flop school.
Well, I meant to say that, he didn't look like he would be that great, but there he was. He made a bunch of shots. He kept taking people to the rack.
I really wanted
to pin one off the backboard. It didn't happen.
You're too mean. That's from my wife. She just sent that in.
Well, she's not wrong.
Yeah, and that's why people don't
now,
like me.
Now, because Zach knows who you are. How about that? Love the show, but I didn't know who you were yesterday.
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
I love the show, but I didn't know that. Well, how many guys are called Arnie and Brady? Wait a minute. If you love the show, wouldn't he know that we had a game at the YMCA last night?
Well, maybe
at
9:00? Wasn't listening yesterday.
Well, wouldn't he know that we play at the YMCA?
Probably.
And wouldn't he know that we play with no D Rob and with Ozzy and those guys? Or with Tucker?
I don't know. We got to go to break.
Jeez, you think he'd be able to put two and two together for crying out loud? All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, 4-minute football fix. My Seahawks are trading everybody and the rich get richer.
Yeah, and I got something special on the Patriots on the 4-minute football fix. So that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
I miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your 4-minute football fix on the Huddle 101.3 ESPN.
How could my wife say I was mean to Zach when she yelled at me today for eating chicken for lunch, but she said that's bad for me?
She just loves you and cares about your well-being.
Chicken? Oh, chicken wings, but it was still chicken, right? I mean, that's still the same thing.
Yeah,
though.
Chicken wings are fine in all venues, all forms.
I just drenched it in blue cheese, too.
You going to come to trivia tonight and have a half-price burger?
I'm going to play a little ball first, and then I got to play a little bit because you took away all my playing time yesterday. We played such a tough team. Yeah, you guys destroyed all my playing time.
Well, sorry. You could have come in. Come on.
No, I would have easily lost the game for us. But the way you guys were blowing the lead, I should have come in. All right, Brady, let's get to the 4-minute football fix.
Yeah.
Right, can you real quick recap what happened with the Seattle trade real quick?
So the Seahawks have traded Michael Bennett, star defensive end, to the champion Philadelphia Eagles. They do so along with a 7th-round pick. So it's Bennett and a 7th to the Eagles for a 5th-round pick and a slot wide receiver.
What you may not know about that is the Patriots were in on that trade.
For Bennett.
There were 3 teams that wanted Bennett. One was Philadelphia. One was the Patriots. I don't remember the third. That was according to Will Cain on his show. He opened up with that today. Either the Patriots didn't offer up enough, or maybe they're in the running for Richard Sherman, and they figured that they couldn't go and get both, and maybe pulled on out. I don't know.
I would not imagine they could get both. They don't have enough.
Well, I was about to say, what receiver were they giving up, though? I'm not quite sure what they would have given up to.
Well, the Patriots, I mean, man, we're talking about a 23-year-old slot receiver whose name I don't even know off the top of my head for the Eagles. I think that's probably equivalent to a Philip Dorsett type. It would have to be.
And what pick number 31?
The Seahawks got a fifth round pick.
So you would just have to give what the 5th round in that whatever pick that is in that round, which is what the 31st pick or something like that. So that's why they were in on it. They probably wanted to go ahead and say that's small potatoes to get somebody like him. We would have been saying what a coup to get somebody like him, Brady.
Yeah, I mean, To get Bennett and Sherman? Or just,
well, no, just to get Bennett. Just to get Bennett.
Well, the Patriots have such a need at pass rusher, and the Patriots had a problem getting after the quarterback, and you saw it in the Super Bowl. They could not get after the Eagles with that big offensive line. They're bringing in somebody who's won a championship, who had 9.5 sacks last year, even in a, quote, down year. Yeah, it would have been a major upgrade, really, not giving up that much.
You would have thought they would want to make the trade with the Patriots instead of Philadelphia, you know, based on conference. So maybe the Patriots tried to lowball them. If they did, shame on Belichick to... And I'm not a Michael Bennett fan, but shame on Belichick for not pulling the trigger if that's what they did. I don't know how much money and what it counts against the cap, but who cares at that point?
Marcus Johnson is the receiver going to the Seahawks. Are you more interested in this trade from the Eagles' perspective in terms of the Super Bowl champs getting better, or the Seahawks' perspective in terms of a one-time champion starting to disintegrate?
Well, I know they're done. I mean, we're going to see Richard Sherman in the next
two. Yeah, which angle is more interesting?
I think
you?
It's more about Philadelphia getting better and saying, hey, we want to go ahead and be around here for a long, long time. And I know they're shopping around Nick Foles. The rumor was about Arizona, but I don't know if that's actually true. But I know they are shopping him around. That part is true. I just don't know if it is going to be Arizona. But, no, I think it's better off seeing that Philadelphia's like, hey, we're not going to sit back. They're the NFC New England Patriots right now is what they are.
Look, I think it's more interesting to me from the Seahawks perspective, and take out the fact that I'm a Seahawks fan. I just find it more interesting when once great champions start to fall apart. You cannot keep the band together forever is what we've said about the Patriots. That's what we've said about the salary cap. That this is what the NFL wants. The NFL does not want teams like the Patriots. The NFL does not want sustained greatness. They want new blood, new markets being revitalized. When you look at Jacksonville and the Rams and these teams that were downtrodden for a decade making news and getting to the playoffs this year, that's what the league wants.
Unfortunately, nobody cares about the Rams.
But I'm saying that's what the league wants, though. The league wants parity. The league wants new teams in and year out. Once the Seahawks had to pay Russell Wilson, they couldn't go out and keep all of these guys together, and then you throw the age on top of it where guys get injured.
I was about to say, you don't want to keep all these guys together.
Yeah, you don't want to keep them all together forever, but you wanted to keep this core intact as long as you possibly could, and the Seahawks now are in a position where they can't monetarily, and they can't because of the health. And I do think it's smart for the Eagles to capitalize on this, because if you're just banking on the fact that you're going to be in this spot again next year, you're fooling yourself. We saw it with the Seahawks.
Did you read Shaden Burlington's one? It's really to you.
He says, Brady, I see the Eagles as a similar version of the Seahawks of the past 5 years. Young roster, talented quarterback that will need to get paid eventually. Is there anything the Eagles organization can learn from Seattle's deconstruction, or is it just an inevitable product of the cap? I'm going to say I think it is inevitable.
Wentz has, what, three more years, right?
He would have three more years on his rookie deal. It's inevitable that you're not going, that your quarterback's going to get paid, and you're not going to be able to pay everybody. So I think it's smart that the Eagles do what they're doing, and that is go for it. Well, you've got this window where you can keep people together, where your quarterback isn't making a ton of money, and you can take on extra money, because once you pay Carson Wentz, it's going to start to fall apart.
Well, they don't have to pay any, like, big-name running backs. Jay Ajayi is not going to be on this team for more than 3 years, I promise you that.
Yeah, but if you're talking about an offensive line that's built really well, and you're talking about a defensive front with Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, and you're talking about Michael Bennett, one, age is going to happen to you when you get to the point where you're going to pay Wentz, and some of these guys might be gone. And two, contract situations for these younger players are going to rear their ugly head. I mean, look, the Eagles are paying Alshon Jeffrey and Michael Bennett a bunch now. What's going to happen when those guys are on the roster and Carson Wentz needs money? It's going to be difficult.
Do you want to get to another trade? I don't know if this one just came down or...
The Giants?
Yeah, the Giants trade.
The Giants acquired Alec Ogletree, linebacker from the Rams. Interesting what the Rams have done. The Rams have traded Robert Quinn and Alec Ogletree.
They gave up a lot for him, though, didn't they? They gave up a fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick. I know that doesn't seem like a lot. At least that's what the Giants are. I kind of see Michael. Is that the right in return for the Rams? Oh, and they get the Rams' seventh-round pick. So I guess it's not as bad as I thought it was there.
So, I mean, but for the Rams to trade Robert Quinn to the Dolphins and Alec Ogletree to the Giants,
right?
You're trading a lot there on your defensive side of the ball. And I know you think your offense is going to emerge in another year with Jared Goff and Sean McVay. And we know Todd Gurley's great.
But Ogletree is making big money.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. And I'm just saying, though, you're putting a lot of faith in Wade Phillips to be able to come in here with some, you know, new acquisitions like Marcus Peters, who we know is good, but also some draft picks that they're going to take. It's going to look different in Los Angeles, too. For the Giants, I'm about acquiring talent. I'm glad they're acquiring talent. The Giants don't have a ton of money, so there's going to be more finagling to be done there to fit in Ogletree under the cap, etc. And remember, Ogletree and Beckham got in a fight in St. Louis during Ogletree's or Beckham's rookie season. There's an
interesting
side point.
That's right. One other note real quick. Jerry Jones has to reimburse the NFL. He's agreed to do that. $2 million for legal fees with the whole Roger Goodell.
Are the Patriots going to get back? Are they going to ask for the Patriots legal fees back and the Tom Brady thing?
Don't think you're going to get that one back. Yeah. Don't think he's going to go ahead and get that one back. So you could go ahead and forget about that. A lot of NFL news going on, but it's always NFL. The NFL's 24/7, 365 days a year.
We're 50 days away from the draft.
Really?
Yes.
Are you excited about being 50 days away from the draft than 22 days away from the start of Major League Baseball. I'm not kidding about that. I'm serious about
that. You're such a hater.
I know. All right. What's coming up next?
We've got a great story from the NFL Combine.
All right. I'm looking forward to this next on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball. Ouch! Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
I didn't get off the bench in the second half. How could I hurt myself? You guys wouldn't put me in.
Speaking of injuring themselves, my dad would like me to tell all the fans that he made it home safely. Since you all followed his exploits for 5 days, he did make it home okay.
All right. Well, that's good to know. And, what is it snowing out yet? Are we still having this?
I don't know, Arnie. I'm looking at the same windowless studio that you are.
Wow. Look at you. I thought you got the new weather chart on your TV screen right there. That's telling you how much weather we're going to get.
I'm still not seeing it directly.
Well, it could be on your screen right there. I'm sure. So what? Nobody else. It's not like Torrance Gosher and Sean Parker looking at anything significant either. They get
someone text us if it's snowing. How's that?
Yeah, someone text us. Is it snowing out or not? I want to know. I have no damn windows here. All right, what's the good story that you had for us this segment?
So at the NFL Combine, former Browns coaches all convened together in a former Browns coaches meeting and they ate at a restaurant called Rock Bottom.
I love that place, Rock Bottom. It's a chain.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a chain. It's like a, they have like a brewery in there and stuff like that. It's a chain around. I had one in Atlanta. They have them in Atlanta and stuff like that.
So Mike Pettine, who's now on staff with the Packers, if I'm not mistaken, he's a former head coach in Cleveland. Some of his former assistants were in the crew at Rock Bottom. That's one of the best stories I've heard.
You like that? They just get, and was this in Cleveland? Or?
At the Combine in Indy.
Oh, okay, at the Combine in Indy. I'm like, would they get together at Cleveland? That'd be horrible.
That was going to be last story standing until I found another great one about a note in a bottle off a ship.
Oh, yeah, I saw that yesterday. I did see that.
Wow. So, yeah. So you didn't think it was good enough to use yesterday?
Well, I guess we could use it today then. I mean, it was okay. It was nothing spectacular. But
not snowing, according to Steve from Milton.
Where was this big damn storm everybody was talking about?
I've heard anywhere between 4 to 6 inches.
No, I heard
and 8 to 12.
I heard 12. That's why they shut down the airport. That's why Rich wasn't allowed to take off at 5:30 in the morning from Burlington Airport.
Someone says snowing like crazy, but they're not telling us where they're from, so I don't know.
Well, considering my wife said no snow, I'm not going to take her word for that. I'm going to take the first-time texter's word that says it's snowing like crazy.
Well, first-time texter, where are you from? Where is this snowing like crazy?
What did Stephen Milton say? I didn't say.
I just said not snowing. We just talked about
it. Okay, wait, no, you said you didn't say Stephen Milton.
Yes, I did.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. You never do.
I know.
You never listen to me.
I do, but I didn't hear you say the name. I do listen to you every once in a while. Not all the time.
Well, it was funny because yesterday, I didn't want to make fun of you, but yesterday.
Did I say something that you said?
Rich asked Tom Caron a question about Drew Pomeranz.
No, don't say I did that.
And then you immediately asked the exact same question.
No, please don't say I did that.
That's
no.
100% true.
No, I don't believe you.
I will go to the tape.
I don't believe you.
We will go to the tape.
I refuse to believe that. I'm better than that.
After we talk to Buster Olney, I will go in and find where you and Rich asked the exact same question, one question apart.
I doubt that.
It's exactly true.
I'm calling BS on that.
I will prove it to you after
you could,
Buster.
You could prove it to that. All right, top of the hour, Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. Then we'll have Buster Olney, and then you prove that to me.
I will.
Yeah, you prove that to me. I want to hear that. If that's true, I deserve some type of punishment. All right, so all that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Mere moments away from Buster Olney. We'll get him on the line. Getting a lot of text on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Shane and Kirby, it's lots of snow. At least that's what he's saying. We told you the first time texters snowing like crazy. And my wife is the only person to say, no snow, a bogus storm. So somebody's wrong. Somebody's not telling the truth. Somebody's being the weatherman and not knowing what the hell is going on. And I'm going to guess that's going to be my wife. I'm going to go against her and go with the other two people. But you let us know what the weather's like in your neck of the woods, 802-655-6672. Just send us a text on the Town Fair Tire text line so I know when I get out of here what the weather's going to be like and what it is right now. Because all I heard about was how the storm was going to be like 12 inches. It was going to be like a foot. They were canceling flights up here. And next thing I know, it still hasn't snow. So I don't know what the heck is going on.
A guy who's not around snow is Buster Olney. In fact, Buster, we don't need the music. Buster was at Red Sox Phillies today.
Ah, how you doing, Buster?
I'm doing good, but don't be trying to downplay weather with me. Back when I was in New York last weekend, we lost power last Friday. We still don't have power at home.
Wow.
My wife, and they're not expecting power till Friday night at 11.
Wow.
They canceled school each of the last 4 days. This is in northern Westchester County. So it's been pretty bad.
Wow.
And this storm is only adding to the mess. So I don't want to hear it.
Now, wait a minute, Buster. I'm going to call you out, Buster, because a week or two ago, when we had John, we were talking about stolen bases. Next thing I know, I saw your article about stolen bases. Was it because we had a little talk about stolen bases, or were you in the work with that?
I'm being honest here. I can't remember the sequence of events. Maybe you guys inspired it.
Yeah.
Maybe I looked into it. Maybe you planted a seed and it was sort of like a Manchurian candidate. It all came out in that article.
Hey, Buster, what do you think of the bullpen cart being brought back by the Diamondbacks? Are more teams going to do this?
But, you know, the surprising thing for me was that the whole impetus for that came from the union. Like, you think all of the – I was talking to a player in the last week, and he was talking about how the bullpen cart was part of the pace of play initiative. And his reaction was, really? We have all these economic issues, and we're talking about bullpen carts? you know, it saves – these are professional athletes. It saves a few seconds. You know, I think it's cool in terms of how it looks. You know, you do wonder if some teams will go the Yankee way in the 1970s when they went with the Toyota car.
Yeah.
You know, I sent out on Twitter today, you know, Kenley Jansen riding in the Ford Mustang convertible, you know, that sort of thing. You know, it's going to become a sponsorship thing. In fact, the Diamondbacks announced their thing was a sponsorship related thing. So that's. But I like the look of it, that's for sure.
I got a better idea. Instead of the bullpen cart, I think we should have the relief pitchers come in on a zip line. You know what I mean? Just zip line and just send them at the mound. I love that.
So, Buster.
Yeah, something. If it helps with time of game at all, you know, that'd be good.
So, Buster, I am conflicted as a Mariners fan. I'm happy Ichiro's back because of nostalgia, but I also wonder what happens when everybody gets healthy. Do they have to DFA a franchise icon? But more so than that, there was a really interesting story that just dropped on ESPN.com from Wright Thompson about Ichiro's obsession with baseball, and it almost doesn't seem healthy. Like, it doesn't seem like it's a love of sport. It seems like it's an ingrained routine, and I don't know that that's healthy. What do you know about Ichiro?
Yeah, that he pretty much has had a lifelong obsession with it. And, you know, when you go to, you know, this the Mariners fan, you go to a game that he played in and he's basically stretching every inning. And all day he has a regimen and he's trying to get better. I have not read Wright's piece. I do wonder about, and when I saw the signing, and you'll back me up on this, my first thought was, boy, his time with the Mariners didn't end great. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of stuff there about him sort of being isolated from his teammates, and his teammates wondered if he was kind of on his own program. And because of that reputation, when he got traded to the Yankees, one of the Yankees' conversations with him was, look, you're coming over here. You're not going to be guaranteed playing time. You're going to be a part-time player. You understand that, right? You might be bench for a time, right? And you know, maybe like a lot of players, as he's gotten older, he might be more at ease with that. And to your, you know, I had the same thought that you did. If in 2 months the Mariners in a position where they have a glut of players, an outfielder who's, you know, 44 years old, and basically he doesn't do anything but hit singles and plays defense, is that going to be difficult? I have to believe the Mariners addressed that possibility within their negotiations, where they said, are you going to be okay if we at some point we have to cut you in the middle of the year? We saw what happened with Ken Griffey Jr., how that was kind of an ugly end. Last thing the Mariners want to do is have an ugly end with Ichiro.
No, that's for damn sure. Buster Olney joining us on the TikTok Jewish guest line. All right, a little Red Sox news. Drew Pomerantz, what's the latest on that? And boy, that's a little scary.
It is. I will tell you that you probably, if somebody asked you to drink a beer in the last year, every time there was a Drew Pomerantz injury-related thing, you wouldn't be able to stand, okay? There's a lot of stuff that goes on there, you know, and then at the back end, that, you know, the end is, well, it looks like it's going to be okay. Now, I didn't get a chance to ask some Red Sox people today about Pomerantz, so I can't give you an update today. But yeah, you know, his history of the things around the elbow was a little bit scary, but it does always seem like he comes through it.
Buster, Joel Sherman of the New York Post wrote this week that the Red Sox are the contender with the fastest closing window in baseball. I think the Nationals are closing faster, maybe even the Indians in some ways, but do you see the Red Sox situation being more dire than those teams?
No, not more dire. I think the Indians are the fastest closing one. I think the Indians, after this year, they lose Andrew Miller and they lose Cody Allen to free agency, and then I think the organization is going to make some hard decisions about some of the guys on their roster. Like, is it going to be time after this year to start thinking about trading guys like Kluber and Carrasco? But I do think that the Red Sox window is limited with the current players because of the age of the pitching staff. You know, Chris Sale's a free agent after 2019. Craig Kimbrell's a free agent after 2018. And the problem for the Red Sox is they don't have much pitching coming up in the farm system. So at some point, as they look to, you know, extend into 2020, 2021, they're going to have a really difficult choice. Do they pay for the free agents, which is problematic, or do they decide, you know what, we're just going to plow ahead, which could be problematic because it doesn't look like they have the young guys coming up. So I understand the premise of Joel's column. I wouldn't agree with him on the particular teams.
Buster, you mentioned David Price, and we've been trying to figure this out all week. David Price can opt out at the end of this year. So what's better?
No chance.
What if he goes 20-5 and is up for the Cy Young? There's no chance.
That's what I said.
I think there's no chance that he can opt out. No, because he's got a partially torn elbow ligament. Hmm. We had the same conversation, if you remember, last summer about Masahiro Tanaka when he was having a good year. You know, would he opt out? In the end, he didn't opt out because he's got a partially torn elbow ligament. And, you know, I'm sure his agents told him, look, if you go out on the marketplace, you're not going to get that $60 million back or 72 or whatever Tanaka's numbers were. And the same thing with David Price. At the end of this year, he's going to be owed, what, $130 million?
Yep.
We've seen the free agent market this winter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Lance Lynn and Jake Arrieta and Alex Cobb are all sitting out there. There's no team that's going to give David Price $130 million. Now, I can't promise you that, you know, maybe at the end of the year, David decides, hey, my experience in Boston is not what I want. I don't care about the money. I'll move on. But I don't know too many players walking away from $130 million.
All right, Buster, let's get to this week's conspiracy theory on a scale of 1 to 10.
Boy.
Yeah, well, 10 being, hey, there's a lot of truth to that, or 1, no truth whatsoever. Justin Verlander doesn't like to be lied to, Buster. He said those baseballs are juiced, and he saw the stats over the last 4 years. Are you buying that or what, Buster?
If you look at the pictures, I think it's fairly apparent that there's something different about the baseball. And the study is based on science. It's based on the imagery, and there's no getting around that. Look, I think at some point it probably would behoove Rob Manfred just come out and acknowledge what was in there. Hey, you know, the article, you know, shows that the baseballs are not as dense as they used to be. And you know the chemical makeup of the baseball is not what it was. And so we're going to look into it. You might as well acknowledge it, because I actually don't think that anything took place under orders from Major League Baseball.
Right, right.
That's where the conspiracy theory loses me. But it was apparent last year when you have people like Verlander, like a lot of pitchers, holding up baseballs in front of you saying, it's different. And it feels different, and I've been picking up baseballs my whole life, and I can tell you it's different, and it'd be good for baseball to acknowledge that, the obvious, what everybody knows, that it is
different.
Wow. Buster, you were at Red Sox camp, as you alluded to. I want to go back to two questions on Boston. Tyler Thornburg in the bullpen didn't pitch all last year with the thoracic outlet syndrome, a guy who I think is a big piece of that bullpen, and if he's healthy, he makes that bullpen exponentially better. What are we hearing about him?
Well, you get positives. I will tell you that, you know, my experience, you know, in watching pitchers come back from that surgery is that you can have some ups and downs coming back. And so they can speak positively about it, but, I mean, let's wait and see if the player holds up. You know, the good thing is that it seems like other parts of their bullpen are coming together.
Buster, how much fantasy baseball do you play? I got three drafts next week. I'm just curious how much you play.
I do one keeper league. I've been doing the same keeper league for 18 years. And before you ask me a question, I will tell you I've never won our league's title. Okay? And I'm going against family and friends and other people who aren't experts are crushing me.
I really just want to know what your what are your team names?
Well, you'll appreciate this. My team name is the Green Mountain Boys.
Oh, nice. I always have a Mariners theme name. So last year my team was Leave It to Seager.
Well, that's my cousin Kyle, right?
That's right.
I think I told you that story, right? That I'm related to the Seager brothers through my upstate New York.
No.
I couldn't believe it. Two years ago, I'm at in St. Louis, and somebody called me over. It was before a Dodger game, and a guy, he said, yeah, I'm one of his cousins. You know, you guys are related. I'm like, what? And he said, and he explained to me, he said, you know, you guys apparently have, like, the same great-great-grandmother from upstate New York, and he was giving me some geography, and I'm like, well, you know what? That fits.
Wow.
And the next week, coincidentally, I saw the Mariners in Wrigley Field, and I walked up to Kyle, and I said, this is going to sound really strange, but am I related to you? He goes, yep. My parents have been telling me that since I was 14, 15 years old.
That's a great... go ahead, Buster. Go ahead.
There you go. You know?
That is a great story, except you lost me at the Wrigley Field game, because I know that's the one where the Mariners lost on a walk-off squeeze by John Lester. I remember the heartbreak like it was yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I love it. Hey, Buster, always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the week, and we'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
That sounds great. By the way, Rafael Devers looks tremendous. Draft him,
yeah.
Brady.
There you go.
Take care. Buster Olney, everybody. Always love talking to Buster. I got to tell you, that threw me off a little bit when he said about the juice baseball. I thought he was going to say, there's no juice baseballs. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that it looks different. I'd be interested. He says they're not as dense. So therefore, I mean, so think about it this way. If you hit a golf ball with a baseball bat, the golf ball is going to just absolutely fly. Okay, it's going to absolutely fly. So are we saying that the inside of the baseball, that it's not as dense, so therefore the inside part of the core is lighter, which I think therefore allows the ball to travel further. That rubber piece is not
cork.
As dense.
Well, here's the article, what they said, according to Verlander, and that's why he went off on that. Home runs in 2014, 0.86. In 2015, it was 1.01 homers per game. In 2016, 1.16 homers per game. In 2017, 1.26 homers per game. So it didn't quite double, but it went up 40%. And Verlander's quote on this, surprising. Oh, wait, been saying this for a couple of years now once he saw those stats out there.
I just...
You're a John... What's the guy's name? The guy from Sports Science?
John Brankus.
You're a John Brankus fan. Break it down sports science-wise.
So you're saying we should get John Brankus on again?
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be nice to try to figure... Well, first of all, can't they just cut it open and we could see the difference between a baseball years ago and a baseball now, or no? You can't do that.
Well, yes, I think you could. I think that you could, provided you knew exactly when an old baseball was from.
Well, you just take one, from 10 years, I'm sure it wouldn't be hard to find that. And I don't know, would you cork or do something to the baseball? Why wouldn't you do something to the bat, other than the fact that maybe the bat would break, and I guess you'd be busted on that. You would think it'd be easier to do something to the bat. If you wanted to get offense, You wouldn't do it to the baseball. You would do it to the bat to get offense. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Nick in Plattsburgh says a lighter ball would have less movement on breaking pitches also. Is that true? A lighter ball?
I don't know. That you'd know that.
I think that a lighter ball would actually move more. Like a wiffle ball, you can do crazy things
But they weren't doing this to get better batting averages. They were doing this so you could hit more home runs.
Yes, doing
they
it so you could
the
hit
ball
more home
to
runs.
Travel.
Yes.
That's what this was all about. So
yes.
I don't know how that... You know.
It'd be a perfect storm. The pitching has gotten so good that it's just harder and harder to make regular contact. So when you do make regular contact, now the ball has a chance of going for them.
Do you think any of the players went, you know what, I really believe that the ball is lighter, so I'm going to go down in ounces in bat. Instead of using a 38, I'll use like a 36 or something.
Who's using a 38?
Well, whatever size you're using, would they go down a little bit because you could swing it faster, or no? Would you still go with the heavier bat? I guess. But Babe Ruth would swing like a tree. Nowadays.
And John Brank has told us that that's bad for you. If you want quicker bat speed, you should use a lighter bat.
Well, what is better? A little bit heavier, or a little bit lighter, or what? I don't even know anymore. It's like a bowling ball for crying out loud.
I think you should use lighter.
It says here the rubber ball is hollow now.
So the
that's
base,
what Chris the Mets
so the inside
said.
Of have you ever unwound a baseball before?
I've seen the little cork, the little like it's like a little rubber ball that doesn't bounce. Cork, it's like
well, rubber-ish. Some of them bounce.
Okay, you know, but that's the one I'm talking about.
Yes, that rubber ball.
It's like it's smaller than a super ball.
If that rubber ball is hollow, then that would
explain the difference.
That would lead the ball to travel further. I think. We'll have to get John Brankus on.
Yeah, you would have to ask him about that. I don't know. And by the way, who makes the balls? I mean, where are they made? Are they made overseas? Are they made someplace where nobody's going to release information like this? Because if it was made in the United States, I mean, you would think some employee would just say, let me tell you what they're doing to the baseballs, because he would make a gazillion dollars for that interview, wouldn't he not?
By the way, you would love this. Clayton Kershaw faced Ohtani today in spring training. He struck him out. But after they talked about, what was it like facing Ohtani? And Kershaw goes, I could care less. He didn't pick us, so good luck to him.
Wow, there you go, Clayton. I love that, man. That is awesome. Give him a little, stick it to you there. Yeah, I'm dying to see what he's going to put up. I'm dying to see what kind of numbers he
has. I know you want him to hit like 050.
I do.
Yeah,
I know you do. Does that make me a bad person?
Yes, this is why people don't like you.
Why, though? I mean, I don't have to root for everybody.
This is why people don't like
yes,
you.
But everything can be kumbaya and root for everybody, rah, rah,
it's
rah.
It's not about kumbaya.
Millennial boy.
If you're telling me baseball is boring, if you're telling me baseball is dying, then wouldn't the thing that revitalizes baseball be something that we've never seen before? A guy who can throw 100 miles an hour and a guy who can hit a ball 500 feet and could do both with regularity?
You know what it is? It's not even so much that. You know the problem. I can't have a 3 hour plus game. I just can't do that.
I'm saying, though, if baseball is not interesting to you.
I do like baseball. I just don't like the 3 hours.
Is it interesting to have somebody do something that the sport has not seen in 80 years?
I just don't want him doing it. I don't want somebody coming over from the Japanese league and saying, see, I could dominate you guys. I don't want that. Does that make me a bad person and racist or something like that now? Am I racist? It wouldn't make a difference if he was coming.
You're a nationalist.
If he was coming from any league, from any other league, I'd say the same thing. I'd say, no, I don't want him to kick ass.
So you don't like when, this is a different, but do you like when a guy who played at FCS comes in and dominates the NFL? Like, do you have a problem with Carson Wentz? He's not from Alabama. He's not from a traditional power.
No, but it was...
Do you have a problem when the little guy comes in?
No, I don't have a problem with the little guy. If he was a little guy and he was playing in the United States at some college, I have no problem with that. That I don't have a problem with. I just don't want him coming from another league and saying, look, I'm just kicking your butt. Major League Baseball, that's what bothers me. What is coming up next, Brady?
Your boy Josh Rosen being called too smart for his own good.
Yeah, that happened to me a lot.
Heading into the draft. I don't believe that for a second.
That is coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN network hosts were opinionated. Unsupportable opinion. It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN. Let's go!
Good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Nick and Blasberg said Brady, a wiffle ball moves because it has holes in it and the wind affects it. That said, during the World Series, pitchers they were going for far less movement on breaking balls. I think I read that right. I don't know. He misspelled a whole bunch of words. So if I got that wrong, I'm sorry. Pete in Georgia says, Major League Baseballs are made in Costa Rica. Is that true? Is that? I don't even know if that's true.
I don't know. The dirt that they rub on baseballs comes from New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken.
The dirt they rub on baseball comes from New Jersey. So
I think so.
Unbelievable. So I can't quite figure it out. So that's if you want to get on the Top Fair Tire.
Major League Baseballs are made in Costa Rica.
All right. Well, there you go. Should they be made in the United States, or am I wrong to think about something like that? Like, you know, we should make it right here in the U.S.
We should make a lot of things here in the U.S. that we don't.
You know, one of the best remotes I ever did when I was in Phoenix, the guys from Rawlings came out, and they brought us some bats, and they fixed all the kids' gloves for free. They were awesome. They had a trailer out there. Did you know that they have certain grains of wood that they make for left-handed batters and right-handed batters? Is that crazy or what?
I did not know that. Ash, yeah. Maple, I know they're all...
Oh, it's
the bamboo bat.
Yeah, no, it's really, it was a lot of fun. It was in the summer. We had like 200 kids lined up just to fix their baseball mitts. If we did that now, come get your baseball mitt fixed for free, we'd have like three people.
No, stop. I get all of my gloves fixed.
Except that you'd be the only person there. Now, if there was like 200 kids, now there'd be no kids. It'd be unbelievable. That's how bad it is. All right, Brady, what's going on here?
Michael Lombardi, who used to work for the Patriots, says Josh Rosen, quarterback prospect for the New York Giants and really anyone in the first round. He says that Rosen has to figure out if he wants to be, quote, a football player or a humanitarian.
Well, what the hell does that mean?
Rosen's getting grief for having other interests outside of football, for being smart, for being well-spoken, for being outspoken. People don't like that. I don't know if they don't like it in their quarterback.
Who said that to him?
Well, Michael Lombardi is saying it now.
I would have asked Michael Lombardi, so you mean either should he be a football player or a guy that worries about violence against women? You can't be both, right? You can't do that, Mr. Lombardi. And I know Michael Lombardi, but you can't do that. I would have taken him right to task on something like that, Brady.
The stick to sports argument only seems to work when it's something that people don't want to deal with.
Right.
No one told J.J. Watt to stick to sports.
No, of course not.
Right?
No.
No one told if you're... advocating for education. If you're Malcolm Mitchell wrote a children's book. No one's telling him stick to sports. So people only use the stick to sports argument when it presents a side of things that they don't want to see. When it's politics, especially a political view that they disagree with, then it becomes a problem for someone to be outspoken. I don't have a problem with Josh Rosen having an opinion on things. I don't have a problem with Josh Rosen I don't have a problem with him being so stubborn in what he thinks about. I disagree with his comments that you couldn't be a good academic student and a good football player because there just wasn't enough time in the day. I disagreed with that, but Josh Rosen can think whatever he wants.
I was listening to Colin. He was talking about in one of the NFL locker rooms, it might have been Pittsburgh, where the coaches said, they told people there's two things you can't talk about.
Yeah, politics.
Politics, and the other one was
stock tips.
We don't want you giving each other stock tips so somebody could lose $300, $400, $500, $1 million in the stock market with, you know, one of your teammates.
Goes, you know,
that's two things we don't want to talk to around here. And I could see something like that, though.
I got to say this. I love Colin. I think Colin Cowherd is the best radio host going right now in sports. He's a guy that if I was one quarter as successful as he was, I'd be doing pretty good. But I totally disagreed with his take earlier today that he said the Seahawks are trading Michael Bennett and going to get rid of Richard Sherman because of their political stances and because of how outspoken they are. I totally disagree with that.
I would have said I could see that's part of the deal, but I think they've lost their usefulness with the money that they're making. So I think it's a combination of everything. One, they're making a lot of money. Two, they're not as useful on the defense that you would think. And three, they are outspoken. So it's just like a perfect storm. Why not get rid of them?
I don't think the outspokenness has anything to do with it. I think the reason why – I've been saying this since the day I got here. How good you are dictates how big a distraction you can be.
Right,
okay?
And Richard Sherman's not as good as he used to be.
Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett are 30 and past 30 years old. They're both coming off seasons filled with injuries. They are both making a lot of money, and they're both counting a lot against the cap hit. And Belichick gets praised when he gets rid of guys 1 year too early rather than 1 year too late. this is the time to get rid of these guys and maybe recoup some value, some draft picks. The Seahawks are in a position where they don't need to rebuild, because in the NFL, if you have a quarterback, you're never really rebuilding. With Russell Wilson, they don't need to rebuild, but they need to get a lot younger. You can't keep the band together forever. So Colin saying that it's all about the political stances that Bennett has had because Sherman's outspoken, ridiculous.
No, but
if they were still all pro players, they'd be on the team no matter what they said.
But with Richard Sherman, every time he says something, it has to be so sensationalized. So, like, he was talking about the Griffin, the one ham.
Shaquem,
excuse me.
Remember that, but that's his teammate's brother.
I understand that, but again, if he doesn't get drafted in the first 2 days, the whole system's broken. But the system was okay for all these years up till now. But if he doesn't get taken in the first 2 days, then the whole system needs to be blown out. It's always something like, could you just say, look, he deserves to be taken in the first 2 days. If somebody doesn't take him in the first 2 days, it's a damn shame. Or everything has to be dramatic with him, Brady. It really is.
Malcolm Jenkins, Chris Long, members of the Eagles were activists, were outspoken. Doug Baldwin in Seattle is meeting routinely with Washington government. Doug Baldwin's still really good, so Doug Baldwin is fine to go and do whatever he wants.
Here's a question for you, first time texter. Regardless why they're being traded from the Seahawks, do you think their value decreases because of their outspokenness? I agree with that first time texter. Yes, absolutely, 100%.
I don't think so at all.
I totally believe that.
I think that because of their age and their money, that's what limits their suitors. The Eagles are a team trying to capitalize on a small window of opportunity here. Because windows outside of the Patriots, windows to succeed in the NFL, they are very small and they close very fast. The Eagles are a team that's willing to, because of the depth they have and because of the resources that they have and some cap space that they have, and they don't have a huge need for picks at the moment because of how good they are, they can take a chance on bringing in someone who's a little bit older, someone who costs a little bit more money. They have the resources and ability able to do that. Michael Bennett doesn't make sense for the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns need all of those picks so that they can get younger.
I understand if
you told me Richard Sherman was getting traded tomorrow to the Cincinnati Bengals, I'd tell you that's a terrible move by Cincy. If Richard Sherman is going to go to the Patriots, well, then fine. They're a team that's ready to capitalize on winning. I think the age and contract dictate their suitors more so than anything. They've said out to be outspoken.
Right. Got some stuff on the Town Fair Tire text line. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. We got some other football stuff for Alex and Moncton. You want to read that real quick?
He goes, do you think the Giants have to be trading down from number two if they're giving up the fourth and sixth round picks? They have too many holes to fill to not have those picks back. And that's something that is interesting. So if you're just joining us, the Giants acquired Alec Ogletree, linebacker from the Rams, and they gave up a fourth and sixth round pick. And it's already all over Twitter, and guys like Art Stapleton, Joe Banner, and others who cover the team and cover the NFC East, they have said that if the Giants are doing this as a short-term fix, then you'd have to believe they're not taking a quarterback.
You can't trade down. Who has the number three pick? It's the
Indy.
You can't trade down because let's say Sam Darnold goes number one. Somebody's going to want to trade up to number two to get Josh Rosen. So if that happens and the Giants want to trade down, they have to trade down to number three because then Indy's going to have them fall Saquon Barkley into their laps. So they're going to have to take Saquon Barkley number two unless they're willing to go ahead and pass on him and have somebody else take Josh Rosen.
What I think now is I do think there is more merit to the idea that the Giants are taking a quarterback, because if you are going to sacrifice picks for a player, and even though an Ogletree is good, he's 27 years old, he's under contract for the next few seasons, he's not a one-year player. You have a guy you hope can play for 4 years, which I think is the remaining deal on, the remaining number on his deal. So you think you've got a foundational defensive piece and you've sacrificed picks, maybe you're not looking at the quarterback because you're trying to capitalize on Eli.
And Chris the Met fan said, hey, Arnie, that's Shea Hillebrandt that does all that in the Arizona area regarding handing out all the gloves, et cetera. I contribute, and a friend of mine works for the cause. Great shout out. Thanks. I can't believe people don't like you. Yeah, well, I can't believe people don't like me either. I don't know about that's former Red Sox, right? Shea Hillebrandt, right?
Yes, former Red Sox.
No, I was talking about the remote we did when we had And I didn't know that about Shea Hillenbrand, but I was talking about a remote we did with Rawlings where they came out with a trailer and they fixed all the kids' gloves for free. They gave us baseball bats with our call letters on the baseball bats, Brady, and very cool. I mean, it was very cool. During the summer and all the kids came out and got their baseball bats or got their mitts fixed for free and just stuff like that. So we had a great time out there. By the way, Brady, you've been working very hard. Just do half a show today on Champlain Valley Game.
Oh,
night,
thank
please.
You.
Just stay till 6:30. I want you to get out of here. You got trivia tonight. You got a lot to go on tonight. I don't need you to do the whole hour for crying out loud. What, just do a half hour. What's coming up on Champlain Valley Game night?
Brian Gloyd's going to join us. He's the voice of the Plattsburgh State men's basketball team. We'll get ready for the Sweet 16 for the Cardinals.
You know, I was going to give you the whole day off, but I'm not going to do that. You could say you could at least do a half hour. You could at least do a half hour and then go to trivia.
Okay, sure.
All right, is that okay? I mean, I know I'm a hard boss, but you know we got to get these things done, Brady. We got to get these things done. What is coming up next?
Coming up next, it is our spring training update. Rafael Devers
again?
Playing well.
All right, that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Red Sox and Yankees have World Series dreams, but before they can head north, they're working on the backfields in the Florida heat. This is your daily spring training update on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, let me tell you this. Boston Bruin forward David Backes suspended for 3 games without pay for interference in the Red Wings game. In the Red Wings game, it occurred in 1944, the first period. He got a minor penalty for roughing. By the way, under the terms of the CBA, based on his average annual salary, he'll have to forfeit $96,000. So almost $100,000 will go to the Players Emergency Assistance Fund because of that. But anyway, the most important part, he'll be suspended for 3 games. Boy, it's all falling apart now, it seems like, for the Bruins, for crying out loud.
And they'll still find a way to win. How about last night winning in overtime against Detroit?
Yeah, which is when he got the penalty. So we'll see.
By the way, you said it happened in 1944. I thought you were going to tell me it happened in 1944. That's what I thought you were saying.
Oh, did I say that? I may have said in 1944. I meant 1944, the first period. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't.
It's all right, Arnie. Grammar is non-existent. Yeah,
English is a third language for me. There's no doubt about that. All right, Brady, what's going on with the spring training report?
As Buster Olney told us about a half an hour ago, Rafael Devers is tearing the cover off the ball this spring for the Red Sox. He had a couple of homers yesterday. And Arnie,
they had split squad today.
I am so excited for the development of Devers. I am so excited for how he's going to look in his first full season in the big leagues because, look, he can hit in the middle of the order and hit 295 with 28 homers and 90 RBIs, or he can be a guy who goes through the traditional struggles of a second-year player and the tape gets out on you and maybe he hits 245 with 16 homers and 65 RBIs. I just don't know. I think it's a big unknown, but you love what you hear right now at a spring training.
Could you believe if they had not brought him up last year, like I said, they should have? I just don't want to happen. I just don't want him to lose lack of confidence and blah, blah, blah. What a hole you'd be talking about now in that Red Sox lineup. You'd have no idea what this guy was going to be able to do. What a move bringing this guy up out there. And I don't think he's going to have any sophomore slump. Well, I shouldn't even. Can we call it a sophomore slump? I mean, does he even have enough at bats to say that he's not even a rookie anymore? I don't even know.
But he
had
225 at bats.
Wow, that's a lot more than I thought he had.
He came up middle of July last year and got 225 at bats. They need him in the middle of the order, and they need
him. 1-for-3 tonight, 391 he's betting in spring.
They need him because he is a lefty. This is a team without a lot of lefties in the lineup. Andrew Benintendi is a lefty. Sandy Leone's a lefty when he plays, but that's not every day. And Jackie Bradley Jr. So you're really looking at 3 to 4 lefties any given time in that Sox lineup. They need him to be the one in the middle of the order. The thing I love about him and what Alex Cora has spoken about is two things. One, his command of the strike zone. So often when you talk about a young player, you talk about a guy who's a free swinger. You talk about you can get him outside the zone and let them get themselves out. Devers doesn't do that. He'll take his walks and then he'll make you pay when you come into the strike zone. He's also willing to go the other way. A lot of guys want to look and say, hey, let's just pull the ball because pulling the ball is fashionable. But he's willing to go to left center, which is actually your natural power alley.
Being a free swinger bad? Do you consider Judge a free swinger?
No, he led the league in walks last year.
But he also strikes out a lot, though. So.
Right. There's a difference between somebody who's a free swinger and somebody who just doesn't make regular contact.
All right, let's give a scale 1 to 10. Vladimir Guerrero's a 10.
Yes.
Right?
He would swing anything.
He's the dictionary of what free swinger is.
Yep.
Who's like the current... because, you know, if you strike out a lot, that means you are swinging at a lot of, I got to assume, bad pitches. You're not swinging and missing at good pitches, are you?
In some cases, now when you're talking about fastballs that are 100 miles an hour, yes, but... You are right. You can have a propensity to go out of the zone and chase breaking balls.
So you don't consider him then like a...
I don't consider Judge to be a free swinger. I consider him to have holes in his swing. I think there's a difference.
All right. I mean, I was going to say, I don't mind it that bad, to be honest with you.
I do really like that Devers is willing to go the other way. I do really like that Devers can sit back on a breaking ball. He can be selective at the plate. I like his approach in general. And because all bad things happen to the Mariners, I remember seeing Devers play his first game last year against the Mariners, and I was impressed with him from the start.
He has a smooth swing, kind of like a Rod Carew-ish type swing where... You know, it doesn't look like he's swinging that hard, but yet the ball does travel. So, I'm waiting to see what he's going to do this year. I don't know if he's going to put up 30 home runs like some people think he is, but I think he's not too far off.
I mean, he hit 14 last year in 225 at-bats. If you extrapolate that out over a full season, if he's healthy, 30 would be a relatively fair number. You just got to think that if J.D. Martinez is going to hit third or fourth, and Devers is going to hit fourth or fifth, then you got to think he's going to get some opportunity to get some pitches to hit because they're going to pick. Well, I take that back. You're going to have to think he's going to get tougher times getting pitches to hit because if he's hitting in front of Martinez, they're going to pitch around him to get to Devers. He's going to get a chance to bring some runs in, but you just don't know how stingy that pitching is going to be.
Can we just start the year? Can we just start the year, please?
We do this every day.
Jeez.
The daily spring training update.
Chris, the Mets fan, wanna know where's Rich? Rich is on vacation. Drove all the way down to Boston to catch a flight to Denver to catch a flight to Reno so he could drive down to Phoenix. No, I'm serious about that.
He's going to San Francisco so that he can see his daughter and go skiing at Lake Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe.
And then he's going to go to Phoenix where he can drink beer and see spring training.
And go to the race car. He's going to the Coyotes game, too.
The Ticket Guardian 500 on Sunday.
You're going to have a lot of fun there, Rich. I'm sure you are.
Do you think Rich is going to listen to us at all?
Absolutely.
Listen
to me on my Fox show on weekends. I'm on in Phoenix.
Wow. Why does he listen to us on the 103 ESPN app?
Real quick, UVM with the win yesterday, but they're not going to play Hartford. Good thing, bad thing? I think it's a great thing.
I mean, it's a good thing because I think Hartford is a tougher matchup than UMBC. It would have been nice to have Hartford come in and beat them by 40. That would be fun. But UMBC, I think, is just a team that UVM matches up well against. They're a guard-dominant team. Jarius Lyles and their other sharpshooters are guards. That's where UVM excels. When you talk about Trey Bell Haynes and Ernie Duncan and Cam Ward, UVM has good guards, and I think they can match up very... I mean, UMBC lost by 30 against UVM and 35 against Albany.
Wow.
And those two teams had the best two guard sets in the league. I don't see UMBC coming in here and having any chance.
I was reading about their coach. What is he, a second-year coach? He had won 40...
He's won 44 games
in 2 years. But the previous five seasons before him, they only won like 41 games. So
yeah.
He's turned it around real quick. So.
Look, it's a good story. It's a very good story, and it's good for the league to have new blood in there. That game is going to be 11 a.m. on Saturday. So here's what we're going to do. The pregame show will start at 10:30 with Sam Hyman.
Right.
And Sports Saturday with Jeff, Paul, Bernie Siplicki, and Aaron Wells, they're going to be on at a special time that day.
Ah.
They're going to be on 8:30 in the morning to 10:30 in the morning.
Get them up early.
And they're going to do the show live from FanFest at Patrick Gym. So if you're going to the game, you're going to want to see Jeff, Bernie, and Aaron. I'll be there, too. And they've already got a good guest list. Taylor Coppenrath is going to join them.
Nice.
They're going to have Amy Huckthausen of the America East there. And Doug Sherman, who's calling the game for ESPN, is going to be with them, too.
How was the crowd for the game yesterday?
Good crowd. Really good crowd. Tough to walk around in. I was sitting on press row, so luckily I didn't have to. But I didn't have to get up and fight the crowd anywhere.
It was a little bit nerve-wracking there. Well, not at the second half.
When it got to 30-20... six right at the beginning of the second half.
Right.
It was 30-21 at the half, and I went on the halftime show with Sam and said, I think UVM needs to come out and just kind of blitz Stony Brook right away and kind of put this game out of reach. Stony Brook hit a 3 to start the second half and then hit a 2, and so they went on a quick 5-0 run, and it was 30-26. And you thought maybe Stony Brook keeps it close. But then from then on out, UVM just dominated. Suffocating defense.
I was going to say, Lamb was hurt a lot more than I even thought when that first injury came down. He's still not even, I'm not going to say 50% medically. I'm just saying it doesn't look like he's even 50% of his natural ability out there.
He scored 4 points.
But
he
that's
missed,
not the, yeah, yeah.
He even missed 2 free throws.
Right. And he missed the shot right before halftime, I think.
He had a couple threes that rattled in and out for him. You said you would start him yesterday.
Right. That was a big mistake.
I would start him for the tournament. I might consider starting him for the tournament.
I don't think you could do that, though. I don't think you could do that. I think you'll just have to use him. He came in because, Urquhart got into foul trouble. So they brought him in a little bit. How much time did he play yesterday, do you know?
Oh, not off the top of my head. Right. I probably played 12, 13 minutes.
Yeah, but I thought he'd be further along now. There's no doubt that he rushed himself back. He probably could have taken another week or two off if there was a week or two left more in the season.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure
there wasn't.
More time off there. No doubt about that. But they get the victory, and that game's going to be Saturday at 11 a.m. So I'm
Are you going to go and rip the other team's coach and do all that?
Wow, you got mad at me last year when I did that. You know,
I did.
I may just stay home and watch it on TV. Might just or listen to it on the radio and just listen to it.
Good. I don't want to sit with you anyways.
There's
only one spot on press row, and I want it for myself.
Yeah, you I'm very cramped there. People yell stuff at me. I don't know.
Some people don't like you.
Dustin doesn't like me.
Dustin likes you.
No, he doesn't. I can tell. He's a little standoffish to me. I'm not sure what it is. What I did to him is because I keep saying that UVM should go to another conference and get to a big time.
I mean, you're just wrong.
Yeah, just like Gonzaga's wrong.
Yeah,
right?
20 years later, Gonzaga might move to another conference. Yeah,
well, at least they're doing something. All right, what is what do you have last story standing? A good one?
Yeah, I've got a great one about a note in a bottle.
Oh, yeah, I saw this one yesterday. I don't know. Well, you guys debate it whether it's going to be great or not. Well,
it's good.
All right, that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, you got this one. I heard this story, so tell us what you found.
Did you enjoy this story?
Yeah, I did a little bit. I heard it yesterday. Go ahead.
Wow. So you're telling me my story's old?
Just 24 hours.
They found a German scroll from 1886 off the coast of Australia. A message in a bottle was tossed off the side of a German ship on June 12, 1886 as it sailed through the Indian Ocean. The date and location penned carefully on the scroll inside. In January, more than 131 years after the bottle was set adrift, an Australian woman noticed the bottle and she found the message inside. And get this one. The reason the bottle was thrown over the ship.
I know why. They were studying currents, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they were studying currents. They threw 125 bottles or something like that in the ocean to see which way the currents were going. And if you found it, you were supposed to say where you found it. And they were studying currents that way.
So they thought that they were just going to wash up quickly?
Wherever. Whether it would take a year, 2, 5, or 10.
Or 131?
I guess. It broke a record, by the way, of the... longest they found the message in a bottle. They broke the record, which was 108 years or something like that.
The last time they found a bottle with a note in it from this German experiment, 1934.
So that's a long time.
That's so
66, 76, 80, 86 years ago or something like that. Give or take.
Yeah, it's 84 years ago or so.
Yeah. You do the math then. But yeah, I know it's a damn long time. I mean, it's a pretty cool thing. I would like to see the writing. Is that all it said? We're studying currents and give us a call or something?
I have no idea.
Send us an SOS. I haven't, what did they have back in the carrier pigeon?
It's believed to be the oldest known message in a bottle ever received.
I mean, it's pretty cool. I heard that. I'm like,
If you could write a note in a bottle, what would it say?
Oh, geez, it would be a whole. You don't want to hear. I'd be talking about you and Rich, and not. It wouldn't be very flattering.
If I were you, I would just put two phrases. One,
wow. Why does everybody hate me?
Why do people not like me? Or why do I even have one line over?
Why do I have one line? I don't even say that anymore. But I barely take phone calls on my national show, 250 million.
802-655-6672. Wow.
All right. What do we got? Don't stay late tonight. Just do a half hour today. What do we got on Champlain Valley Gaming?
Well, Brian Gloy is going to stop by the studio, actually. He's the voice of Plattsburgh State basketball and women's hockey. So we'll talk NCAA tournament for both sides. And, thanks for letting me off early because I got to get to trivia.
Yes. All right. Remember, trivia starting at 7:30. City Sports Grill. It's not even snowing outside.
It's not snowing
at all. It's not snowing. So stop with the baloney. Everything's going to be fine. Be at the City Sports Grill. For intern.
Nathan.
And for intern.
That's it.
That's it? One intern? Yep. One lousy intern?
He's pretty good, but right?
For Brady and Arnie, Rich on vacation for like 10 months. we'll be back tomorrow. Champaign Valley Game Night next right here on 101.3 ESPN.